Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Hi there. Welcome to another weekend special pre-daylight savings adjustment extended interview edition of the Iditapod. I'm your host, Casey Grove. And coming up, we've got an interview with Esther Musher Paige Drobny. She has broken into the top 10. It's with KNOM's Ben Matheson in Shagaluk. I just saw another recording with her being asked by Iditarod Insider's Bruce Lee how it feels to be running this high up, this far into the race. And Paige actually says, well, Bruce, this is the highest I've ever raced in the race ever, including at the beginning of the race. She finished in 43rd place last year. This is her fifth year. She's been running it every year since 2013. She got 34th, 2014, 25th, 2015, 27th. Fell back a little bit last year, like I said, to 43rd. Again, when this interview was recorded on Friday, she was running in 10th place, top 10. And as I'm recording this here Saturday, she's in and out of Grayling and still in 10th place. So Paige moving up in the ranks. Again, this interview is with KNOM's Ben Matheson in Shagaluk on Friday.
Paige, looks like you're settling in for a good break here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to stick through and do the 8, you think?
Yeah, I think probably. I'm trying to not to get out of running in the middle of the day, and this is the kind of the only chance that I get to do that based, you know, on the way I've been running and resting. Any of the other checkpoints along the Yukon wouldn't change my schedule as far as running in the middle of the day, so that's why I'm staying here.
How's everybody dealing with, you know, temperatures hitting above freezing?
I feel like the dogs are dealing with it better than I am. Yeah, they seem super adaptable. I mean, they ran the Yukon Quest this year, and it was minus 50 at the start and 25 or 30 above at the finish, and so they're pretty good at adapting to it, but I am hot.
What do you do in terms of diet and feeding and water to make sure everyone's getting the right calories, given the temperatures?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Because I've been running the Yukon Quest the last several years and it's been minus 50, I have that diet dialed in, but this above freezing temperatures, I don't really know how to deal with it yet. So it's a constant, it's in constant flux, and I keep trying different things, and I don't really know. I mean, I'm offering everything. I'm giving them clear water, giving them food, giving them fat, and they kind of dictate, you know, they're eating a lot of fish right now because that's generally what, you know, it's got a lot of water in it. They're not liking the fat as much, but they're eating it, and it's definitely in constant flux.
Sounds like a somewhat exhausting run over from Iditarod. Does that take its toll, or were you able to?
I know you had 12 dogs.
How were you able to manage that run?
I mean, again, I feel like the dogs, I mean, like, this team is just, like, super happy and ready to do whatever I ask of them. It's probably more of the mental toll on myself than them. Like, I had thought it was going to be a 7-hour run, and it ended up being close to 8. And so when I, when you're getting close to that point where you want to be here, then it's harder for me to deal with, and the dogs, you know, every time we stop, they're just like, okay, what do we do now? But there's a lot of hills, and felt like we were going really slow, and there was a bunch of new snow, and it just felt like it kept getting hotter, so that was not my favorite run.
What's it like to transition from, you know, some hills and some bumpy terrain to what is hopefully a smooth and flat river? Mm-hmm. How's that transition go?
I'm looking forward to it. Just hopefully some easy traveling for the dogs. They really like, trails that they can move on. And we haven't had that for a little bit. And every time, so the run into Iditarod, when we would hit like some ice or like a road like this, you know, then they would just get cruising along really fast. And it seems like that makes everybody really happy. And the bumpy trails that they, you know, they're constantly getting pulled on by the sled and, you know, we're pulling and pushing constantly. I don't think it's probably very comfortable for them.
Are you paying attention to the weather forecast?
No, I haven't heard anything.
What I know is, or what I saw last night was 3 to 7 inches over the course of a few days.
Oh, great.
Warm temperatures, like all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Well, glad we know that now.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, we're not out here. I mean, I guess part of me is out here to have a smooth, easy run, but part of it is for the extremes and things, and for the toughness of it, and overcoming the obstacles that are thrown at you. So that's just another one of the obstacles.
And you've probably told my colleague, but what do your leaders look like this year?
So I have Turkey and Nico in lead, and they have been in lead the entire time, apart from the start that Sable ran, and then I put Sierra in lead for one run. But they both ran the Yukon. Well, everyone on my team ran the Yukon Quest, but both of them ran the entire Yukon Quest in lead on different teams. My husband ran the race as well, Cody, and I keep wanting to take them out and put other dogs in, but they don't really want to or seem to need to. They every time I go to hook up, they're at the end of their neckline wanting to lead the team out again, so I'm having a hard time changing them out, because they're just so solid and are just, yeah, ready to go and do whatever I ask of them.
And I'm a little bit back and forth, but have you had to mess with runner plastic at all this year?
Not so much, because it's been warm. So I've just kept pink on until Nikolai, when we heard that, you know, we had heard, I think, that there was a bunch of snow going into Iditarod, like, or the first part. And so, or because it had, no, it was out of Takotna, because it had snowed while we were there. And so I put this wide runner plastic on, hoping to get some loft if there was a bunch of deep snow. And I don't really think it mattered that much.
Do you transition to a smaller sled closer to the coast?
I don't. I just bring one sled, and I don't send any out to any checkpoints. Yeah, I have full confidence in the sled that I'm running, and yeah, don't change anything.
I think I heard, is this like your first new sled in a few years?
Yes. Yeah, so my husband builds these sleds commercially, and I had a sled for the last 4 or 5 years that probably I've run 5,000 mile races in the last 5 years, and then put all the training miles on that sled, and it was also a hand-me-down from him that he had been using for a couple years as well. So he'd been trying to get me on a new sled for a while, and just before this race, like a week ago, he finally got this one done. So it's pretty exciting.
And before you go off and take your nap, how much have you been sleeping so far?
Not very much. Let's see, the first, before Takotna, I think I slept 15 minutes total. And then in Takotna, I probably got 12 or 14 hours of sleep. And then since then, 2 hours.
What's your hope for here?
Sleep wise or what?
Can you get a couple hours or?
Oh yeah, I should, if I'm efficient enough, I should be able to get 4 hours of sleep, which will be great.
Thanks, Paige, and we'll see you down the trail.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, Ben, let her get some sleep. That was KNOM's Ben Matheson talking to Esther Musher Paige Drobny out of Squid Acres. Stay tuned for another full episode of the iData Pod, and thanks for listening.